Is it Sunday yet? Almost. Welcome into the Almost Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Derek, joined by Joe Mason today. We might have Joe Beldner join us. He's a little bit shoddy on the communication this afternoon. Maybe he joins, maybe he doesn't, but we'll let you know if he joins. In the meantime, how are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing good. Man, the NFL draft was a lot of fun. I look forward to it every year. I did my usual ritual, watch draft day in the morning, got all hyped up. And what a time. Liked a lot of the landing spots we saw, was a little disappointed in some of them, but I'm excited to talk about that some more today.
I feel like the last 6 days or so has been so jam-packed that I forgot we haven't recorded since the draft.
Right.
Oh, man. So, yeah, like, quick question for you. What was your favorite landing spot and what was your least favorite?
That's a good question. Let me see here. So,
I'll tell you my least favorite. I have that queued up for myself. And that's Cedric Tillman going to the Cleveland Browns. I mean, maybe Elijah Moore is just cooked and he'll never recover from all that drama in New York, but you've got Amari Cooper, you have David Njoku signed to a big tight end contract, and then you have Elijah Moore coming in with something to prove, and then you add Cedric Tillman, who is a big-bodied receiver, but Donovan Peoples-Jones is still there, and so he's buried on a team that you still don't really know what their offensive identity is with a full season and training camp of Deshaun Watson. Maybe he surprises us and he overtakes like a guy like DPJ, but I think Peoples-Jones is a good receiver. And Tillman already had a few question marks about whether he could produce at a high level. He had that good junior year, or I don't know if it was a sophomore. I don't know if he's an early declare or not. Well, his most recent year was riddled with injuries and a bit disappointing, but the year before that, he had really good production. Now he's on a Cleveland Browns depth chart that is pretty deep.
Yeah. That probably puts an end for the David Bell truthers like myself.
Yeah, didn't even mention him.
I was pretty disappointed. So my least favorite landing spot has to be Zay Flowers to Baltimore. And I got really into him late in the like rookie evaluation process, just saw a lot of the stuff I liked, thought he could be, you know, maybe he'll go in the early second to some places, but he went to the Ravens, and they're just not going to throw a lot. They just added OBJ. They have a new OC who's going to want to throw the ball a little bit more, but they also have Bateman coming back. Mark Andrews is the number one target. I'm just a little disappointed with where Zay Flowers ended up. And if he had gone to Minnesota or the Chargers, like, you know, Addison and Johnson went, I would have been a lot more excited. But, yeah, he's on Baltimore.
All right. Do you have your favorite landing spot?
So this might be a little bit of a surprise, but I think my favorite landing spot is Gibbs to Detroit. And it would have been a lot different if they still had DeAndre Swift on their team. But, I mean, Swift had, like, I think I saw something like 12 to 15% target share when he was with the Lions. Like, and that they took him with, like, a second-round pick. So, like, you have a guy, they took a 12th overall in Gibbs. Like, I actually think he's going to be really good and produce right away. If I had the 102 in a rookie draft for one QB, he's my pick.
I gotcha. I think, let's see. I could keep going about ones that I don't like. I don't like Charbonnet.
I liked Kincaid, actually. Like, I'm pretty excited for Dalton Kincaid as well in Buffalo.
Yeah, I think, is it Sam Laporta who ended up on the Lions?
Yeah.
I like that landing spot a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Because Hockenson was a beast. They traded him away, which, I mean, they were not in a position to compete yet, and he was a valuable asset, and so they traded him away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Sam Laporta is a legit option. He's very highly touted in the scouting community. And he might come in and produce. It seemed like last year the Lions, it was like they have too many wide receivers. What are they going to do with them? Because Jameson Williams coming back, there's too much depth. There's Chark, there's Amon-Ra St. Brown, there's Hockenson. Jameson Williams is coming in, and now all of a sudden it feels like they got nobody. Chark is gone. Jameson Williams is suspended. Amon-Ra is still there, obviously. He's going to command a ton of targets. But there's an opportunity for Laporta. Swift was getting a lot of targets. I'm assuming Jahmyr Gibbs is going to get plenty. But I do like that landing spot for the tight end position. I'm looking at this list, and I think that one of the other landing spots I like is Roschon Johnson for Chicago because of the ambiguity. We don't know if Khalil Herbert can be a really solid workhorse back. Roschon Johnson is a big guy. And then they got Deontay Foreman, who is always, it's like ride it while it's going, but there's always a chance he just absolutely breaks down and in craters because of his previous Achilles injuries. Other than that, let's see. Kendre Miller's landing spot is about as good as you could have asked for. I don't know if you, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I like Kendre Miller. I think I heard somebody on a podcast, and I apologize, I don't remember who, but they talked about how he would have gotten a lot of draft hype if he was healthy during the draft process and like went through a bunch of the drills at the combine, but he was hurt. But yeah, I like Kendre Miller. He's a big bodied back, and he'll be a nice complement in the beginning of the year with Jamal Williams if Kamara misses some time. And I really like Achane's landing spot with Miami. He's another guy that I got really excited about at the end of the draft, like evaluation process. And then
Okay.
they took another track star from Mike McDaniel, who models his game after the 49ers since he came there from Shanahan. Achane's pretty sneaky. Like, he's probably my RB3. I would take him over Charbonnet in rookie drafts
Which
now.
was not the case going in because
No.
Joe Mason loved him some Zach Charbonnet.
I did. And that's probably another disappointing landing spot for me is going to the Seahawks, but we'll see what happens. He'll be a great handcuff if anything ever happens to Walker, for sure.
Were there any guys that went undrafted that you were surprised by, and are you just totally out on them? I have one name that immediately comes to mind, which is Sean Tucker.
Yeah, I was a little surprised, but I guess his health condition that makes sense why he did get drafted. That's really the main guy I was paying attention to see, like on day three, like where is he gonna go, and no one scooped him up.
Yeah. I think I'm most disappointed to see that Kyle Patterson was not drafted. Do you know Kyle Patterson, the legendary Air Force tight end?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Remember him? 3 receptions, 32 yards in 7 games. He got invited to the combine. He did not get
Oh, we
drafted.
talked we talked about him before.
Unfortunately, he did not get drafted. So it is what it is. Maybe he'll join the XFL. But you were mentioning that Alvin Kamara might have that suspension. So before the show, we were talking a lot about what we're going to do on our startup draft for Dynasty. And we're sitting at, what is it, pick 137? Was that what I said?
Yeah, I
And
think
Alvin
so.
Kamara is still there. His ADP on sleeper startups is 83. And we are staring at pick 139, actually, in round 12, and Alvin Kamara is still there. Other guys that have fallen, Dalvin Cook just went last round, even though his ADP was significantly better than that. And I mean, we're looking at the guys, the running backs that are available: Alvin Kamara, Tyler Allgeier, James Conner, Khalil Herbert, Ezekiel Elliott, Jamal Williams, Elijah Mitchell are the next rated running backs. So I'm trying to make the case that we should take Alvin Kamara because we know that he's good. He is just at that age cliff. He would be our RB3. He's 27 years old. There is the suspension concern. I think that's why the discount is really there. But Derek Carr is taking over this offense. So talk me out of Alvin Kamara here at pick 139.
So Joe Beldner, who isn't on, he wants us to take Alexander Mattison, who he thinks is going to be taking over for Minnesota. I think he also thinks that they're going to move on from Cook before the season starts. There's rumors he could get traded after June 1st and all that. I'm leaning towards James Conner, Derek, because he's also 27, doesn't have legal issues, and he's going to start the season without Kyler Murray, who, you know, after Kyler got hurt, James Conner scored a heck of a lot more touchdowns, because Kyler's not, you know, poaching him at the goal line, right? So I think similar age. I think James Conner, they didn't add a lot of, you know, backfield support in the draft, so it's James Conner's show essentially. So I'm leaning James Conner here over Kamara, and also Kamara could have he has an out in his contract after 2024. So
Well, what is James Conner's contract?
yeah, let's look that up.
Because my other argument for Kamara is that the types, he's not the biggest back in the world, but the types of running backs that have more longevity are guys that avoid the huge volume of carries and workload that Kamara has always avoided throughout his career. He doesn't break 200 carries, he gets a lot of receptions. What was really missing last year from his game was the touchdowns, and the team was just awful. And so the touchdowns never came. But with a new quarterback that's not Andy Dalton or Taysom Hill or whoever they're throwing in there, Jameis Winston at some point, I think this offense is a lot more competent. And once he returns from his suspension, I wouldn't anticipate he's going to get more than like 4 games.
Yeah. The NFL usually underperforms in the suspension category. Usually when we expect something big, they do something minor. So yeah. I don't know. It's a toss up, honestly. I would say like flip a coin.
I mean, what do we have available otherwise? We got wide receiver options. We have some rookies that are there. We have Downs, Reed, and Hyatt, who have their own concerns with size and everything, and role. Then we have DPJ, who we already mentioned as probably competing with a lot of other guys for that depth piece. Jakobi Meyers is now maybe the heir apparent for Devontae Adams. I don't know how many more years Devontae Adams has going for him. At this point in the draft, you have so many question marks, but I would be going for talent. And I don't think you could really argue that Alvin Kamara is not the most talented running back that's still on the board.
I guess question, do you think if we pass on him here, he'll be available at 13-1? Because we pick in 6 picks. Or do you not want to roll the dice
Let's
with
see. I
that?
mean, I
PBR
don't
guy might
I
take
think he's
him.
immediately gone because Ryan has one running back on his roster. And so, I mean, I don't know. Oh wait, who's picking after us?
Yep, Ryan and then Greg and then Aaron and then PBR guy who I think might take him because he's going like super win now.
Yeah.
But he
Yeah,
has
well, I
four
mean, oh
running
my
backs
goodness.
already.
His running backs are gross.
Grandpa's,
No, but I
yeah.
mean, they're just like filthy. Jonathan Taylor, McCaffrey, Eckler, Derrick Henry. But he also has old receivers. Goodness gracious. What is the youngest player on his team? Josh Allen. I guess
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor and Cole Kmet. But anyway, yeah, my pick is Kamara. I think I'm going to be vetoed here, but that's what I would do. Sometimes you got to just stop overthinking it.
We don't have Joe here, so Derek, if you want to push the button, I'll let you do
Okay. And then Joe can try to trade him. I'm taking Alvin
it. Yeah.
Kamara.
All right, let's do it.
How often are you going to get Alvin Kamara in the 12th? I know it's a dynasty. I know that he's 27 already, probably going to be 28 when the season starts. I don't know when his birthday is.
Let me look at so I did a startup this off season. I took Alvin Kamara in one league. Let's see. I got him at the in the 10th round a few months ago. So he's
Okay.
fallen even more. Same format as this one.
I mean, like, as far as the tight end, Evan Engram is still there. I think at least Evan Engram or Greg Dulcich will still be there in 6 picks.
So Derek,
That's what I think.
another startup I did. I took him, and this was like a month ago. I took him at 1307. Same format.
You took Alvin Kamara at 1307?
Yeah, I can't believe I took him twice. I'm about to take him three times.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at here. Let's see. The tight ends, I think there's a clear tier break at tight end coming up. Because we have Ingram there, Greg Dulcich is there, And then you got Dawson Knox, Luke Musgrave, McBride, likely Darnell Washington. You got those young guns that are like you're hoping that pan out. Then you got Fant, Gesicki, Schoonmaker. Jelani Woods is not a bad option here. I mean, at much later, I don't know. Maybe I'm going back to Greg Dulcich. But we also have Courtland Sutton. So I like to diversify. What does your gut say? My gut says take Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, that's fine. I really am curious if he would make it to us at 13-1, because then I would say sure. But the only thing is, because we're on the turn, everyone, so we had the first pick. So,
But
I mean,
we're actually picking from the 12-7 right now because of a trade.
we moved around the board a little bit, which is good, which is I think is good to do when you're on the turn. So you don't have to wait 20, three picks between your pick. We have two important picks here, Derek, because we don't pick again for like 20 after that. So, I think we should decide what our next two will be and then go from there, because I think we can't get Kamara, Connor, and Greg's guy, Madison. We're going to have to probably pick two of them if we want to go RBs.
Yeah, so after us, we've got a guy with two tight ends. We have a guy with one tight end. We have a guy with two tight ends, two rookie tight ends, believe it or not. And then we have a guy with Cole Kmet as his only tight end. And then we pick. Or
All
wait,
right.
actually. And then the guy with Travis Kelce. So I kind of want to roll the dice and see if,
With tight ends and see who falls back to us. Okay.
Because I mean, I'm looking at this board way down. I could even say I'm kind of excited about Tucker Kraft on Green Bay. Although, I mean, you got, who's the other? Luke Musgrave got picked ahead of him.
Yeah, and
Green
I
Bay
mean,
makes no sense to me. I know that everyone bashed the Lions for their picks, but Green Bay's logic in the draft always defies my understanding.
plus, we could always snag like Hayden Hurst as a backup option. Like, he's not a sexy pick, but like, he's probably going to get a lot of targets in Carolina with that wide receiver room. So,
Who's the Cincinnati tight end now?
that is Irv Smith.
Sold, dude. Let's Irv Smith.
Oh, I can't. I am
Pick
anti-Irv Smith.
226, man.
We
The
probably could get
starting
him
tight
later,
end.
but yeah.
You clicked on him, latest news. Irv Smith entrenched as starter.
I can't. He was a starter in Minnesota. He didn't do anything.
Because he got hurt. And then they trade for Hawkinson. But goodness, I mean, we could get Zach Ertz and like
I
way
know.
down there. Okay. I think I've convinced myself. Joe Bellner can be mad at me all he wants. I'm taking Alvin Kamara.
All right.
The pick is in.
Curious to see what falls to us. Who's our next pick here? Are we taking Connor? We're taking a
I mean,
tight
if
end.
he, honest, I don't know. I think we have to see what the next five picks hold. But I feel fine having Alvin Kamara in the 12th round as our running back three. Because it's all about context. I mean, I'm looking at Darth's team. His running backs are Cam Akers, Isaiah Pacheco, AJ Dillon, and Brian Robinson. I would like all three of our guys ahead of all four of those guys. But that's just me. That's the beauty of fantasy football.
Heck
Everyone
yeah.
can have their own opinion. So, now that that's out of the way, let's talk about your Niners.
Yeah, they're honestly their most exciting pick was a tight end.
I'm not even thinking about the draft. We had a very lengthy discussion about our ninth round pick, Trey Lance, and what his dynasty value really is. Because we're in a very similar situation as we were just now, where a guy had just he had just plummeted down the ADP. And so Trey Lance is sitting at us at pick 97, I think it was. and his ADP is in the 40s. And
Yeah,
so and ultimately we took him to be our QB3 behind Mahomes, Stroud. So are we just absolute idiots, or did we just rip off everyone?
I think the value is there. I think we need to add a veteran quarterback to our room. And there's not a lot left, but we could get like a, you know, Baker Mayfield still there, who I think will start. You know, just looking down the line, we could get Minshew, Kyle Trask, just lock up the Tampa Bay quarterbacks, and we got one of them, right? I see you put Davis General Mills on there as a handcuff for us for Houston.
Yeah, that's just kind of an insurance on Stroud. Not
Right.
saying that he would get benched for any reason, but
So
if
we got
somebody
some
gets
options.
hurt, yeah.
We got some options. I think if you have Lance, you have to hold him, because I think there's a chance that he could start the year if Purdy isn't healthy. The Niners have committed to Purdy being their starter if he's healthy. And he just he's actually scheduled to throw a month from now. Purdy is. He's on track. He got the brace removed from his arm. Things are looking good. But yeah, Lance, the upside is there if he's the starter. Just don't know if he's going to be the starter. I'd be okay parting with him for a first round pick, but I don't think a lot of people are paying that right now.
I could see, I mean, it's a very, very different situation for the player situation, but I could see a scenario, and it's entirely injury dependent, what the Eagles did with Sam Bradford, where an injury occurs and all of a sudden the team who is positioned to compete is just without a quarterback. We saw it happen with the 49ers. They went with guys that were in-house, but they could have made a trade, I think. So maybe that's ideal. I don't know. Is the best situation for Lance on the 49ers? What do you think?
I think it's not. I think it's on another team. If especially if Purdy played well this year. But I think if you're the Niners, a lot of people were saying like, oh, they're going to trade Lance during the draft. But I don't think you could trade him until you know that Purdy's like 100% healthy, right? Because like, if you trade him and Purdy's not healthy, you're rolling with Sam Darnold to start the year, which is not exciting.
You mentioned having Davis Mills as a handcuff on our team. And just now, I'm thinking about the concept that we don't talk enough about, which is quarterback handcuffs and Dynasty Superflex.
Very important.
What is your mindset? Because I'm just working this out in my head as we're talking, which is I don't think I would go for Davis Mills. Because if our quarterback went down, and the downgrade to Davis Mills is pretty significant, then you're kind of already out of luck. But a lot of times what I would recommend doing with running back handcuffs is don't take your own handcuffs. Take other teams' very valuable running backs' handcuffs. So, like, if you have Christian McCaffrey, then I probably am going to want to take Elijah Mitchell from you so that I can hold him and trade him to you for value. So now I'm looking at the board thinking, okay, who are the valuable backups to quarterbacks who do carry more injury risk because of their play style? And I'm looking at Marcus Mariota. I'm looking at Tyler Huntley. I'm looking at PJ Walker, believe it or not. And Minshew, really.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be the guy that gets into quarterback trouble because of injuries or someone doesn't perform well and they get benched and you are scrambling to find a super flex quarterback or even a regular quarterback position for your roster. I've been there before where I've had to overpay for a quarterback. That was like I had to give up like a late second for Tyrod Taylor when he was, I'm trying to remember what team he was on. Might've been the Giants. Just because I needed a quarterback and his mobile rushing was intriguing to me at the time. So it's bad, right? In a few leagues last year, I picked up Taylor Heinicke for the Commanders, and I flipped him or third round picks during the season to teams that needed a quarterback after he took over as a starter. So
So
yeah,
is that what
totally.
we should do? I mean, that's kind of what I'm thinking we should do, is target those
Absolutely.
guys I just mentioned.
So I
Because
have a
if you lose Jalen Hurts, you're gonna want Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, so I have a league where I have three starting quarterbacks in a super flex league, which is like the minimum you should have. But I have a total of, let's see, four, five, six, seven, eight quarterbacks on my roster. It's a 30 man roster, right? But I also have Blaine Gabbert, Marcus Mariota, Winston, Matt Ryan, and Drew Lock. Yeah, Drew Lock's a backup. Matt Ryan's not signed. Blaine Gabbert is now the backup to Mahomes, Kansas City. Mariota's the backup for Jalen Hurts in Philly, and Winston's the backup in New Orleans. But roster them during the offseason. You never know what could happen. And then obviously, if you need to drop one of them for a waiver claim, you can easily do that during the season. It's not a big deal, but it's nice to have these guys because you can trade them to the teams who need quarterbacks during the year for, third round picks. And those picks are only going to go up in value until the draft, rookie draft next year. Just cashing in,
So who, if you were looking ahead at our board, who would you be targeting? Those guys that I mentioned?
Yeah, let's take a look. So
I mean, we're talking, I mean, Sam Howell's down there buried because I don't think anybody really believes about his longevity as a starter. If he even beats Jacoby Brissett. Tom Brady's ADP is still better than a bunch of backups like Minshew, Darnold, Zappe, Jameis, Huntley, Brissett, Mills. Like Tom Brady's going ahead of those guys.
Yeah, I think Zappe is the first one because there's been a lot of rumors that the Patriots aren't happy with Mac Jones. They kind of wanted to trade him. So Zappe's one. I think if you don't believe in Anthony Richardson, go grab Gardner Minshew because if AR like just really struggles, I don't know, if the Colts are like 0-5, do you think they just bench him to like try to figure his game out or like can switch go to Minshew for him to learn or like
No, I think he just, I just think he just
rides it
keeps,
out?
yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm looking at this. Marcus Mariota is going in round 28. And that's the direct backup for Jalen Hurts,
Yep.
who has not finished a complete season without missing some games.
Yeah, then there's Aiden O'Connell, who the Purdue quarterback that got taken by the Raiders, right? So, if you're not a Jimmy G believer or truther, you could pick up this rookie that they could turn to. I could see like Coach McDaniel, middle of the year just being like, all right. I got to keep my job. I'm switching to the rookie quarterback,
Oh my goodness.
You never know.
I don't know. I think the money prevents that. They didn't just trade for him, they signed him. Who
No,
is,
yeah. J Jimmy
yeah.
G, though, I think they can move on after 1 year, though, with this contract. They'll have
Okay.
some dead cap, but all of it's the first year is like guaranteed, but after that, it's like 50-50.
The Stanford quarterback that the Eagles drafted, his ADP is better than Marcus Mariota.
Ooh, Jacoby Brissett is a good one too. He's
Yeah, he might
backing up
start.
Howell, right? I mean, he might even start. That's a good one.
So there is value to be had. We can find something.
We're talking about nasty boys right now.
Yeah, I mean, we're in round 12 and we're looking ahead to like round 27.
Right.
But let's see. Other dynasty implications that have been going on this week. What have you seen in the news these days?
Let me go look at Sleeper. I like that they have that like news and notifications thing right now. Let's go take a look.
Think one of the things that we've been discussing is what is going to happen when Zeke Elliott, Fournette, and Hunt end up on a team? And are there any backfields that you're worried about them messing up?
I think he's gonna just go back to Dallas.
That's what I think. And I think if he does, that's a pretty decent spot.
Yeah, I think he's going to go back to Dallas. I think the one interesting dynasty news that I saw was the Packers extending Jordan Love for a year,
Yeah.
which, they have the fifth year option for him, which I don't know why they just didn't do that. Maybe they just believe in him more. I don't know. So that's intriguing for that. I have a weird feeling like he's going to work out. Like he didn't really play well in 2020, 2021 when he played that one game for Rodgers against Kansas City. But I have this weird feeling about Green Bay and like being able to find their future quarterbacks, and so we'll see what happens.
We have one thing that we haven't really talked about with rookies are the tight ends.
There's so many of them that
So
I'm just interested in.
at like value, which one are you most interested in? Because I think it was surprising to see Michael Mayer be the third tight end drafted after Laporta. But
Yeah,
his
I
landing spot is
was.
good.
Yeah, with the Raiders. Yeah, I guess the one that I like is Brenton Strange. I didn't realize they took him in the second round. Jacksonville took him in the second round. He went to Penn State. So that's a high draft capital investment for a tight end. He's sneaky. Right now, he's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th tight end off the board. I'm sure you can get him in like late round 3, early round 4 of your like dynasty super flex rookie draft. So he's interesting to me. You mentioned Kraft on Green Bay, right? Tucker
Yeah,
Kraft.
but he and Musgrave both went to Green Bay. Musgrave was pick 42 and Kraft was pick 78.
Okay.
So it's
Musgrave,
kind
I
of
heard,
one
is
of
pretty
those
good.
weird things where you're bringing in two rookie tight ends, which is it a Mark
Which
Andrews
one's gonna
Hayden
hit?
Hurst situation? Which one's going to hit? Because both of them aren't going to hit. Oh, Evan Engram just got picked.
Didn't he just talk about that too? He's like, what do you guys think about Evan Ingram?
I just, well, that was, that's Ryan's third tight end, and he hasn't even taken a second running back. So, I mean, I was playing the odds here. I wasn't assuming that he was going to take a third tight end before his second running back. Would you have assumed that?
No, I maybe, I see a lot of people just punt the running back position completely because, I mean, if you look at it, like we said, there's still James Conner on there, Khalil Herbert, Jamal Williams, a
Yeah.
starter in New Orleans is still there. And
I mean,
then,
Damien Harris is even still there.
yeah, and I like Damian Harris. And I think Singletary is still a solid running back to have on your
I mean,
team.
Rashad Penny and Gainwell
Yeah.
are both there. Yeah, so you know who else is there? Cl former first round running back for the Chiefs.
Oh, CEH,
Clyde Edwards-Helaire
and
is
also
just
the
buried.
probable starter for the Dolphins, Jeff Wilson.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't regret the Kamara pick because I think he's still good. I mean, even if you could just keep listing names though of guys that will have opportunity, like Izzy Abanaconda. He Breece Hall might not be ready week one. He's gonna step in. Although, who is the guy? Zamir, no, not Zamir White. Who was the guy who just killed it for a couple weeks for the Jets? Zonovan. Yeah, nobody believes in the second year of him, apparently. He's buried. But you're right. Maybe Kamara wasn't the guy, but I love me some Jerome Ford in like round 30.
We have to take Rondale Moore. I'm a big believer in Rondale Moore.
Let's see. Back to the tight ends. Who is your early off-season breakout tight end? Not just for Dynasty, but for redraft. There's always somebody. This year,
Early
honestly, I
off
think it was Juwan
season.
Johnson.
Yeah, late breakout for him. Isn't he like 26 or 27?
Yeah, he's 26. And he just re-signed with the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah,
He could be the Darren Waller.
I'd be looking for that third year breakout. So you're looking at Freiermuth, Kyle Pitts, those kind of guys. You could argue Kyle Pitts already broke out in his first year. Another name I like is David Njoku, who did pretty good when Watson was back. Did good before he was on the team as well, before he started. He had a really good stretch of games where he was just six or more targets over 70 yards in 4 or 5, like just really, really good. Then he got hurt. He busted up his ankle pretty bad. So he's another guy I think is a great option at tight end, which I didn't even know this. He was a first round pick a few years ago. I don't know if you knew that back in
Njoku?
2017. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually did know that.
He's only 26, and this is going to be his 7th year in the league.
Wow. What do you think about Cole Kmet versus the Packers this season?
Cole Kmet.
No, do you know why I'm saying specifically against the Packers?
Oh, his because his sister's dating Luke Van Ness, right?
And then Lucas
The
Van
dad.
Ness's dad touched her butt.
I saw that. Everybody was giving him a hard time. That was, oh man.
All right, we have a special guest coming in. Joe Bellner is joining.
Let's
Hopefully, he's not angry.
go. Love it.
Yeah, Lucas Van Ness is going to be lining up against Cole Kmet because he's a defensive end. Kmet's going to be on the tight end position, lined up against Lucas Van Ness, getting
It,
revenge for his sister.
yeah, he'll give up one pancake block for sure for his sister.
Going on, fellas?
Hey,
So,
Joe.
Joe, we had a lengthy discussion about our current pick that we just made, which we took Alvin Kamara.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, I've been off my phone for a little bit.
So, we didn't communicate to you. We were having the live discussion about who we were going to take. Finally, we decided to take Kamara. It was a calculated risk, thinking that looking at the rosters of the people after us, they didn't have really any need for a tight end. And then Ryan immediately proved us wrong by taking his third tight end.
Who'd he take? Dulcich?
He took Engram.
Engram.
So
Okay.
we have to survive four more picks.
Pulling it up right now.
And hopefully Greg D is still there, because if he's not, then I think we should just might as well wait.
I agree.
Because
Let me see him pulling.
I wouldn't take Dawson Knox.
No. Yeah, not with the direction the Bills look like they're going with him. But let me see. The roster's
So,
looking nice, though, I'm not gonna lie. It's looking pretty good.
yeah, you know what? We didn't even like read our roster out. Did Joe, did you want to
No.
do that?
Yeah, so at quarterback, with the first pick, we took Patrick Mahomes. Then at the back end of the fourth, we got Ramondre Stevenson, who's in for a major year. It's a PPR league, so he's going to be huge. We got David Montgomery at the 10-12. Sure, they got Gibbs, but he's going to be the goal line back. We saw how many touchdowns Jamal Williams had, so he could be in for a huge year. We got my boy Chris Olave with the second pick in the, I mean, second round pick. Treylon Burks in the fifth, Dallas Goedert in the sixth. Jahan Dotson in the seventh, and then we got Deontay Johnson in the eighth, Courtland Sutton in the back end of the 11th, CJ Stroud with the first pick in the third, and then Trey Lance in the ninth, and now most recently, which I just found out on air, Alvin Kamara at the back end of the 12th, which yeah, no, I think it's a good pick. He's got the legal issues, but I know Derek was pointing out that in a PPR league, you know. Sure, he's getting up there in age, but he should continue to be the pass catching back. I'm a big Kendre Miller guy, and they brought in Jamal Williams, but those two are kind of like Kendre Miller's like a younger clone of Jamal Williams, play style wise. So when Alvin comes back, he's definitely going to be the pass catcher, and maybe he plays with a little something to prove after these legal issues and the inevitable suspension. So. Good
Yeah,
looking
you're
squad.
only right as you can only be correct as recent as the like current day. But Alvin Kamara doesn't have the mileage on him that other 27, 28-year-old running backs might have. Because did he ever crack like 200 rushing attempts? Let's see.
That's a good question.
Yeah, he did. He actually did last year. But I mean, his highest was 240. His first 5 years, 4 years in the league, he never cracked 200. Last year, he had 223. And he has always gotten his lowest target total was 67, and that was in 13 games in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
But he was still the RB8 in PPR with his lowest target. I mean, I was going through the stats. Like, his seasons in the league, RB3, RB4, RB9, RB1, RB8, RB16.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's a 12th rounder.
And to put that into context more, you know, like I'm looking at the draft board. You've got Tank Bigsby, Rashee Rice, Darnell Mooney, right before him, John Mechie. Like these are the guys that are getting picked before him in our startup right now. So.
And also, I mean, just list off the running backs that have more recently gone ahead of him. Dating back to our pick of David Montgomery, before we took Kamara, it went Antonio Gibson, Tajay Spears, Dalvin Cook, Tank Bigsby.
Even Roschon Johnson, Brian Robinson. And
yeah, Roschon Johnson went before Montgomery. Brian Robinson went before Montgomery. Aaron Jones, Kendra Miller, James Cook, A.J. Dillon, Joe Mixon. Like, those guys are not guarantees by any means. I was looking at, we were talking about Darth's team. I don't know everyone in this league, Joe. I don't know who you're friends with. Do we know who Darth is?
So I know everyone except for PBR guy, A. Gaudian, and Darth Dudson. Everybody else, okay. I know.
Because, Joe, his running backs are Cam Akers, Pacheco, Dylan, and Brian Robinson.
Which Joe are you addressing right now?
You, Joe Beldner.
Okay, sorry, I was looking at the entire draft board.
And all four of those guys were selected before we took David Montgomery and Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's still you know, you look at the running backs on the board.
Yeah, there's still a lot to do.
Yeah. There's still, you know, a lot. You got James Conner, Khalil Herbert, Jamal Williams, Fournette, Madison. There's a lot of good running backs on the board still.
I mean, I'm looking even further down the board at guys like Jerome Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Who can be had for little to no draft capital. And Jerome Ford is set up to be the RB2 behind Nick Chubb.
Yeah, yep. He is. Have you guys talked about how like Leonard Fournette, Zeke, and you guys were talking about that?
A little bit. We didn't talk as much about Fournette or Kareem Hunt, mm-hmm. but it's our impression that Zeke Elliott might just find himself back on the 49ers, the Cowboys.
It makes sense.
I mean, I heard he's taking applications to be a center too, since that's how the season ended, you know.
Can we get a eligibility for like a all 21 fantasy league? Can we get center eligibility?
I was just waiting for like one of those bigger running backs in the class to land there. Like I was thinking Kendre Miller would be perfect right. for there. And then next thing you know, it's Deuce Vaughn. So
he's Tony Pollard's not.
Yeah. Pollard's not the best pass catcher, so maybe there's a little bit of a pass catching role for Deuce Vaughn there. But yeah, it seems like they need the exact player that they need is like an Ezekiel Elliott at this point of his career. So yeah, maybe a restructured contract would make sense there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Joe, let's pick your brain a little bit. Joe Beldner, we were talking about rookie tight ends. Which one excites you the most, taking into account landing spot and just draft capital?
If we're talking about the top, it has to be Dalton Kincaid for me. You know, Michael Mayer is my number two in the class, and he's super intriguing as well. I think the Lions probably should have taken Mayer over Sam Laporta. Is he Iowa? He came from Penn State and then Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I would have taken Mayer there, but you look at Kincaid in terms of fantasy, he's like an athletic freak. Kind of reminds me play style wise of like what we saw from Greg Dulcich. And I know both of them were later into their career at playing football. I think both of them were basketball players growing up. So when you see basketball players that They go over to football, and usually they're tight ends because they're really tall and usually pretty muscular dudes. They're usually the athletic freaks. You got Darren Waller was a basketball player. I think Travis Kelce was really good at basketball. Mike Gesicki was awesome
Jimmy
at
Graham, right?
basketball. Jimmy Graham also. Yeah, the list goes on and on. So you have these end zone targets that just box out their guy, jump higher than the guy. And now Dalton Kincaid has Josh Allen throwing him the ball. So I don't know if they're going to line him up at the big slot like we were talking about.
I think they
Because
will. I honestly think they will. And that gets me really excited for him.
how awesome would that be? I mean, it's wide open after Diggs to be the wide receiver too in that offense, and they throw the ball a ton.
Watch, he's gonna be the what we wanted Kyle Pitts to be this whole time. Kincaid's just gonna I'm excited for him. That's all I could say.
So it's funny because I know a lot of people's philosophy with tight end and dynasty is to kind of wait on it. A lot of people are like, okay, in their first 2 years, they hardly produce any fantasy production, so like take another position over tight ends. But if I'm looking at the board and like JSN's off the board, Gibbs off the board, Quentin Johnson's off the board, Jordan Addison's off the board, and the next best player available in my eyes is like Zay Flowers, I'd actually be comfortable taking Dalton Kincaid over Zay Flowers and
I
just
might
holding
take that
him.
advice. I got the 10th pick.
There we go.
I could use a tight end too, because Ertz is.
I'm helping out the enemy.
I traded away Gesicki, which I don't regret any. I was a little bit worried that he was going to end up in a great landing spot.
Tough
Kind of
landing spot.
washed
We were talking
Johnny
earlier about
Smith.
like biggest disappointments, and Zay Flowers was one of mine. I just was really excited for him near the end of the draft, and then he went to Baltimore, and I'm just like, man. We could have just if the Chargers or Vikings were more interested in him and they picked him, I'd be a lot more excited.
Yeah, with Zay Flowers for me also is like I didn't really love the prospect. Obviously, you watch the highlight videos and like those are some of the craziest highlights ever. Like he looks like Antonio Brown at the collegiate level, but just playing for Boston College, I'm not sure if like his level of competition with his size and play style would really translate to the NFL. Like at his size, if he was a slot receiver, it would make me like kind of like a Josh Downs. It would make me more excited, but like, if he's going to be this vertical threat at his size and he's not like a Tyreek Hill type of athlete, I'm just I don't know. I'm a little skeptical. So for his fit in with the Ravens, I know Lamar said he wants to throw for like 6,000 yards a season. I don't know if you guys saw that headline. But
No.
yeah, so that's his newest headline after signing his contract.
Oh, pick
But
just got made. Oh my God, Greg D is gone.
there we go. Uh-oh.
Oh man, we're spiraling.
Getting sniped. But anyway, I don't expect Zay to be like anything more than Hollywood Brown was, and I'm expecting much less production, to be honest. But he's an athlete, so time will tell.
What do we do with Rashad Bateman?
Not much.
I still like him. I like the talent.
Yeah.
I think he's the most talented receiver there. And then,
Oh, he's
take that
gone.
with.
I was like, is he just still on the board? No, your brother took him in
No.
round 9. That's kind of rich for me.
Yeah, I honestly probably would have picked him at 901 over, if he was still there. But we took Lance. Actually, he was there. We went
Yeah,
with
he was.
Lance. I meant like for the 10-12, but he probably wouldn't have made it that far. Yeah, I still like him. I think he's just had some bad luck with injuries. So started off the year awesome, and then he got hurt. So we'll see what he can do. Maybe he'll be I think you can get him out of value now, and I think people are ready to move on. Yeah, that's a bummer about Greg Dulcich. I should have known Greg was going to take
Oh
him. He
man.
loves Greg D.
Greg Dulcich, I'm thinking that he's gonna be really good. But I
With our
also
next,
think, yeah, go
sorry,
ahead.
continue. No, I was gonna say with our next pick, I'm like looking at the draft board. Two guys that are really catching my eye. Obviously, Alexander Mattison. I told you guys that like I went out of my way to trade for him because I really think that Cook's gone come June. And they took Dwayne McBride in the draft, but that's not someone really that threatens me. It's like really funny how some people view the draft, because like I had a tweet with that got like a lot of people steamed up and we were it was talking about the biggest winners from the draft, and I listed Cam Akers. They're like, how could you list Cam Akers as a big winner from the draft? They took Zach Evans in the sixth round. I was like, because they took Zach Evans in the sixth round, and they could have went like Kendre Miller or like anybody else in the second or third round. They waited till the sixth round to take a running back.
Because what was Cam Akers, like a second round pick?
Yeah, like what's the hit rate of these sixth round guys? People are acting like
bad, and he couldn't even beat out his own teammates.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't beat out his own teammates, and there's a reason why NFL scouts want to take him till the sixth round. So I don't know. I found it kind of funny. But the other guy on the draft board is Trey McBride. I know Mason traded for him in our dynasty league. Shows a lot of promise. The Arizona Cardinals are a team that is projected to really stink this year with Kyler down. But then they might have the top two picks in the following year. You know, maybe Kyler comes back and then he's their future, but they could go for Caleb Williams, any of the top running quarterbacks in the class, and replace him. And then they could just take, you know, like Marvin Harrison Jr. and then be like an awesome, awesome offense. And I think Trey McBride's a really hell of a player who's going to come into his own. So we have Dallas Goedert at the helm, and we don't really need to fill a flex spot. So he would be a player that make a lot of sense for depth that could grow into something.
Yeah, Joe, you're going to have to re-listen to the beginning because me and Derek, we were going back and forth on, you know, I said, like, we should decide who our two picks will be, because if we don't pick Alexander Mattison, if one of those picks, he's probably not going to make it back to us at the, 14-9, I think is when we pick next. So maybe he – I kind of want James Conner because I just think he's going to do really good without Kyler. But I'm okay with Mattison. I'm okay with Trey McBride. I really like Trey McBride. I think those two or three are kind of the guys I'm eyeing, and I think we can get some wide receiver depth with our other picks.
I mean, what about Luke Musgrave?
He's interesting-ish.
He was the 42nd pick.
He's a little bit older, right? I think he's like 24 already.
Is he really? No, he's 22.
Oh, he's only 22?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, his knock was that he was hurt. I'm getting some of the prospects mixed up.
His athletic testing is good. I mean, a 4.61, but he's 6'6", 255.
Yeah, he's 3 inches taller than Trey McBride. But yeah, Musgrave went to Oregon State, right?
Yep.
Okay.
There was a time in the pre-combine process, before Dalton Kincaid started getting a lot of buzz, that people were like equally intrigued by Musgrave and Kincaid. Obviously, like Kincaid got a lot more buzz and ended up going in the first round, but like they really like were viewed as like the two athletic freaks that could be like really good fantasy tight ends. So I think the Green Bay landing spot's really good. They've got like nobody to throw the ball to other than Christian Watson and now that Jaden Reed.
Hey, whoa.
Romeo Doves.
I forgot Derek.
What do you make about Jaden Reed?
He could be okay. He's like really athletic. I think he got hurt a lot in college.
I really had no clue. I mean, I feel like I knew all the names going into the draft, and when I saw Jaden Reed get picked, I was like, who are we talking about here?
Him and Rashee Rice were like two of the names where like I watched probably one highlight video of each. And then after they got drafted, I had to like dive in a little bit more. But
I listened to a lot of like different podcasts for rookie analysis and like pre-draft hype. And JJ Zacharyson was on Jaden Reed for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about how his model liked him. If he got the draft capital, he'd be really interested in him. The only other one that I heard talk about him was Joe. Do you remember I sent you the Undrafted podcast with Jack Falcone?
Yes.
So he talked about him too, about how he was like interested in him and like, let's see what happens, right? Sometimes the NFL just sees something in these guys and they take them with early draft capital. And so we'll see, you know, I'm intrigued by him. I think you can get him in like the late second round of like rookie drafts for Superflex. So we'll see what he does. He's a little bit smaller guy though, right? I think he's like, actually, I think he's available still.
I think he's kind of tall, but he's like slender.
5'11", 190, so he's solid. Yeah.
Who are we talking about? Jaden Reed.
Jaden Reed.
Yeah, yeah, Jaden Reed's still on the board here in round 12.
It's kind of interesting. He's kind of like, you know,
we're up in three picks.
He's in a similar situation to Jonathan Mingo, who's getting a lot more buzz. Mingo's kind of a bigger guy, but both of them could, you know, there's a pathway to being the wide receiver one, wide receiver two in their offense almost right away. But it really comes down to Jordan Love.
We have talked about the Giants wide receivers. And both of the potential wide receiver ones on that offense are still sitting here in round 12 in the startup. One's a second-year player coming off an injury, and one is a rookie kind of coming off an injury. Jalin Hyatt and Wandale Robinson, which one do you prefer?
Wandale.
Wandale's 5'8".
He had like a 13 target game right before he got hurt where he had like over 100 yards.
I think it was the game he got hurt.
Yeah. I think it was just too much for his little frame. He couldn't handle it.
Yeah, but, 9 for 100.
You know, Hyatt was an interesting prospect. Like, obviously crazy speed, and his production was crazy. He had that one game against Alabama where he went like absolutely nuts. But now that NFL scouts, like, I just continuously watch teams that needed wide receivers pass on this guy. So, like, the landing spot's pretty nice because the Giants don't have anyone, but now they have, like, 7 slot receivers. And Darren Waller. But
which you can't discount.
No.
At least for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I would definitely rather have Wandale than Hyatt. If Hyatt went in the second, maybe I'd feel a little different.
What about you, Mason?
Sorry, multitasking. Say that again.
Which one would you rather have? Because we can very much we could decide between Wandale and Jalin Hyatt.
Wandale for me. I'm a big fan of Wandale Robinson.
So is he one of the options that we're looking at? And are we just going to punt tight end? Because, I mean, we're looking at potentially the number one target once he's back to full health. And you can't really say that about the tight ends we're looking at. We're looking at potential with Musgrave, McBride, Knox. I mean, and then we go way down, and we're looking at guys like Darnell Washington and Gesicki and Luke Schoonmaker, who Joe Beldner's never going to take because he is a Jake Ferguson
stan.
Which, I mean, Jake Ferguson's way down there too.
I'll be honest with you. I still think that Jake Ferguson's going to be the tight end one at least this season. To start off the year, I was pretty stoked when they took Schoonmaker over, like, all the tight ends they could have gotten. But
because we have 5 wide receivers already. But I don't think we can have too many.
Mm-hmm. There's some good tight ends still. Like, and by good, I mean like starting caliber. Like, if we pass on Trey McBride and Musgrave, you have Gesicki down there. Schoonmaker, you can make an argument for. Same with Ferguson, but you got Strange with Jacksonville, who's probably going to be the replacement for Engram eventually. Jawan Johnson, who's very interesting to me.
Yeah, honestly, I'm surprised that he's so low on the ADP wise.
Mm-hmm.
I know that he's an older guy, but like tight ends don't really, they don't really, what is it called? They don't age. There's like a food term. Like, they don't come to their prime until later.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even Jelani Woods, he's a second-year player, and he's 6'7", and he's going to be in the Anthony Richardson offense.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting
about
Jelani Woods,
I don't really see them much different than, like, the potential of McBride and Musgrave. I mean, if anything, Woods proved more in his rookie season than McBride ever did. I mean, Ertz missed, like, the last 4 games, at least. And McBride didn't really – I mean, I think he finished well, like, the last game of the season.
Their offense sucked without Kyler.
Yeah.
And, yeah, their quarterback carousel towards the end of the year was rough. I don't know.
Week 17, he went 7 for 78 in a touchdown. Trey McBride did.
That's enough for me in a rookie season.
Because I look at the tight ends that are left, and I think after Musgrave and McBride, I mean, I like Isaiah Likely, but I think – it's a teardrop after those two guys.
Hayden Hurst is all the way down there too.
We talked about him as like he could be our backup, like as a, you know, if we pass on tight ends and like some of the guys we like get away, we could take him probably super late.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do you guys think?
You said
next?
That was enough for you. I mean, Jelani Woods had an 8-for-98 on 9 target game.
You know, he's impressive as well. I don't know. I was looking at all the depth charts for like the rookie quarterbacks, and Kylan Granson's currently listed as the tight end 1 for the Indianapolis Colts. I don't know like how accurate that's actually going to be, but I don't think so at all. I don't know what they do with their depth charts, these teams, because you see some interesting moves. But
something we discussed, Joe, before you came, mm-hmm. was which strategy we would employ, or which one would you employ, as far as we don't talk a lot about QB handcuffs in Superflex Dynasty, and there is a certain level of importance to having a handcuff strategy with quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And so do you like having your own handcuffs, or do you like having other teams' most valuable handcuffs? Because, I mean, last year I definitely was going for my own handcuffs, but I think that I've kind of come around to the idea that there's some value in trying to target other teams' high-value handcuffs, such as Mariota on Philadelphia, Minshew on the Colts, mm-hmm. Huntley on Baltimore, these guys that are more injury-prone. Not because they're injury prone, their bodies don't hold up, or because they play a more risky style of game. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, even PJ Walker's the backup for Justin Fields. If Justin Fields runs wild like he did again, the likelihood of him getting hurt is more significant than a guy who stands in the pocket like Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, so it's kind of a multi-step answer. But when you have a bench as big as like our dynasty league, I think absolutely. I love having my backup quarterbacks, just because like the guys that you're rostering at the very end of your bench, when you have a bench that big, it's like silly not to, you know, have your backup quarterback who you could slot in the super flex if your quarterback gets hurt. Secondly, I think if you're going to trade your quarterback and you have the backup quarterback, like I remember I traded Lamar Jackson and I kept Tyler Huntley, knowing that I could definitely trade Tyler Huntley in the future to the owner if something happened to Lamar, and I ended up getting a second for Huntley when Lamar got hurt. That's definitely a good strategy. And then, like you said, if it's a high quality backup, you know, there's a couple guys in the league who could step in and you know they're going to perform, then I think that's definitely lucrative, because quarterbacks do get hurt. So I think for sure, if your bench is deep enough, you should at least have your own. But if you have room for others, then why not? Super flex is like quarterbacks are so valuable.
Yeah, because we're going to have to decide pretty soon about what our strategy is going to be with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm leaning towards taking guys that are behind running backs. I mean, quarterbacks that are a little bit more susceptible to getting injured on their running.
Yeah, and it really just comes down to if you're doing a startup draft, like who else is on the board. Like obviously if there's a player that has worth on the board during that time, maybe you don't want to take that backup quarterback. But if it's like somebody that's like really up in the air, I'm trying to think of an example, but having trouble, like why not? Quarterback, high end backup quarterback could have a lot more worth than that guy that's on the very end of your bench.
All right. Do we have anything else to talk about? We've actually gone like pretty long already.
Yeah, I came on too late.
Yeah, that's our bad. Well, actually, Joe wasn't on his phone, so he didn't know
it
we were starting.
Yeah, it's my bad. Usually I'm always on my phone, and like this week I've had my phone in my pocket doing too much. But
any parting words of wisdom?
Never.
Well, I'm excited to see how the next rounds play out, and we'll definitely talk about it next week. I mean, yeah, you might be like, what the heck, they're talking too much about their specific league, but I think a lot of information can be gathered from this about finding value in your drafts and seeing how the board falls. You never know what's going to happen. Maybe Trey Lance falls to you in the 9th round. Maybe Kamara falls to you in the 12th. I know that we had to decide whether we were going to go with Dalvin Cook in the 11th. We ultimately decided not to, and we went with Courtland Sutton. And then Cook went five picks later. So I think I'm satisfied with Sutton Kamara versus Cook and maybe who would be the wide receiver at that range. Like down, like one of the rookies, Downs, Reed, and Hyatt. I think we made the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so stick with your gut. Get your guys. Don't feel like you have to go by ADP.
Yeah.
But if the ADP is falling so significantly on a guy that he's a screaming value, don't galaxy brain it. Just take him. Because as we're looking at these rosters, I mean, we've said this will be the third time, but like we got Kamara before Tank Bigsby. Tank Bigsby has no assurance that he's going to be anything in the NFL. If you offered Tank Bigsby for Alvin Kamara in an existing dynasty, do you think they would accept that?
Absolutely not.
No, the Kamara owner would be like, what are you talking about? Why would I take Bigsby for Alvin Kamara?
Unless he was doing like a crazy, crazy rebuild, then.
I think that's one thing that would be my parting thought is if you are on the clock in your startup and you're deciding between two people, put it in your head, would I trade this person for this person? And if one is obviously like the winner of the trade, pick that guy.
And I guess my parting words, now that you've given me a little more time to think about it, would be, you know, we say it all the time, but I'm having voice cracks with the allergies every 5 seconds.
Just don't. Just roll with
I'm
it.
I'm gonna throw my microphone one of these days, but
just don't talent, do it at your wedding, bud.
Nah. I do with a voice crack is gonna be a hell of a time. Her dad's gonna be thrilled, but I would say talent over destination.
Okay.
You know, we see it every single year. People start overreacting after the draft. It's like Jackson Smith and Jigba, you know, like he's everyone's wide receiver one. Still goes first in the draft. Maybe he slips a little bit. He goes to Seattle. Some people don't like it because there's a lot of mouths to feed. He's still the best receiver in the draft. You know, just don't overthink it. Like, sure, sometimes there's a player that goes to a destination and it creates an opportunity. But when we're talking about top end talent, just draft a talent. Things change all the time. You never know when a team's going to get a new quarterback. You never know. You can't predict the future. You know, a player could get hurt. All these opportunities arise out of nowhere. So I'm fully on the thing of, you know, unless something crazy happens, just draft the talent and move on from there.
Mason?
Yeah, I say, you know, just kind of like Joe said, just draft your guy that you like. Because the thing about Dynasty is you want to – draft the team that you like, right? You're going to own the team for hopefully forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So draft the guys you like, have fun. That's what's most important. And yeah, just be in a league with your buddies because those are the best types of leagues.
I had another thought before I close it out. And it's that don't forget about those second year players. One of the things we've ended up doing is just grabbing these guys that are second year players, especially at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
If you went back a year and look at their NFL draft capital. Treylon Burks, Josh Doxson, same team, much different outcome. Jahan Dotson and Chris Olave. I mean, we paid up for Chris Olave. He was our second round pick. But all of those guys in the NFL draft went before JSN did this year as far as the number pick that they went. Burks was 18. I think Dotson was 16 or 15. And Olave was, what, 12? I don't know. But he was before 20. JSN went 20th overall. And so for all the pomp and circumstance of the 23 draft class, and you got to trade for these 23 picks, I think a lot of people have cooled on it. And we're getting these second-year players at a discount when the NFL believed in those guys more than they did in the guys this year.
Mm-hmm. And going off of that thought, I know we have all these closing thoughts, but, you know, don't be afraid to take rookies also in your startups. Because I remember when we did our startup, like I see Mason taking like Garrett Wilson at the time, and like he got him at such a value. And
Sixth round.
And you fast forward a year, and that guy, you could take him in the early second round. You know, like like in going into his second season. So like
He was the
if you
second, he was the 204.
crazy. And like I would take him at the 204 also. Like don't like if Jaxon Smith-Njigba slipped more, then I think his value is actually pretty appropriate in our league. Maybe a little bit early, but like if you think that a player is going to be a star, that's a rookie. Like don't be afraid of the unknown, but there's a fine line between it. So I don't want to give bad advice, but at the same time, like you know, like Garrett Wilson in the sixth round in his rookie season, like what a value. So when you're doing your startup, that's your one time chance to get these really promising young guys.
All righty, let's close it out. This is the Almost Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast. We're here with you all year round. We're talking dynasty. We'll be talking redraft inevitably. We're having fun. Hope you are too. And you'll hear from us next week. Bye bye.